The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A couple weeks ago in the craft room during vacation Bible school, the children were handed a black sheet of paper. And on that black sheet of paper, there were lots of round white circles that formed the shape, the outline of a spaceship. The children were also handed pages of those little sticky, colorful dots. The children were told to stick the colorful dots on top of the white circles. And when they did that, it would form the outline, very colorfully, of a spaceship. One of the little boys did as he was instructed for a while. But then he stopped, and as I watched him, he took the green dots, and he didn't put them on the white circles as he was directed. But instead, he made a little green man inside the spaceship. It was an alien. This little boy was working outside the directions, outside the lines. Was he doing it wrong, or was he doing it right? In our text from the Gospel of Luke today, the disciples ask Jesus how to pray. Are they asking because they don't know how to pray? Jews had always prayed to God, and the Old Testament has countless examples for us. These disciples knew how to pray. Maybe the disciples wanted to know how Jesus prayed. Maybe they wanted to learn the new way to pray, sort of like new math. Or maybe they were trying to stay in the lines, making sure that they were praying right. Have you ever wondered if you're praying right? Don't we always seem to be wondering about the mechanics of prayer? The how, when, what, why, and where? When a dear friend of mine was diagnosed with breast cancer recently, she was told by a well-meaning woman from her church that she got the cancer because her faith wasn't strong enough. She hadn't prayed right. Many of us find it hard to blame God when our prayers aren't seemingly answered. So we blame ourselves. We assume that we must not have done it right. Do you ever wonder if the right prayers are answered? And Jesus just sort of discards all of the wrong prayers? Perhaps there's even this big prayer bit bucket somewhere up in the sky. I admit that I don't know exactly how prayer works, but I can't believe there's a right and a wrong way to pray. I cannot believe that God would reject my prayers because they are too short, too long, too demanding, or even too vague. I can't believe that God would ignore me because I snuck a peek during the Lord's Prayer instead of keeping my eyes shut. Or I got distracted by the fly buzzing around and forgot what I was praying about, or couldn't stop thinking about the email that I had forgotten to send. I don't think the disciples today were asking the mechanics of prayer when they were asking Jesus how to pray. Author Peter Marty wonders if instead the disciples were asking, "Lord, teach us how to love and trust God the same way that you, Jesus, do. Teach us how our prayer lives may increase in fullness and honesty." The disciples were likely more interested in an invitation into a relationship with God. It's in that relationship that Jesus tells us to speak candidly and honestly, to speak with confidence and trust that God will hear our prayers. Most of us have some sort of a relationship with someone that we really love, be it a family member or a friend. If we didn't talk with that person for weeks or months at a time, or talked superficially about why we're so happy or so sad, or just went through the motions of a conversation, could we expect that relationship to continue, to strengthen, to deepen? No. To deepen our human relationships, we have to work at it. Speak with each other frequently and honestly. Trust that our conversations will be heard and really listen to each other. To have a relationship with God, we have to do the same. Approach God with familiarity, with boldness, frequently and honestly, trusting that our conversations will be heard. Jesus does. Jesus prays. In Luke's gospel, he prays a lot, even in the deepest and darkest hours, hanging on the cross. Jesus prays. In our text today, Jesus tells us to pray like he does, even in our darkest hours. Can we? Do we? As a chaplain in the electroconvulsive therapy lab, or ECT, at Emory Hospital, I spent a lot of time with those who were severely depressed and suicidal. This was the last stop for many, and it was a really, really difficult place. There was a man, and I'll never forget him. He brought his wife in twice a week for treatment. And he did this month after month after month. And he'd sit way over on one side of the room, way over in the corner. And he'd wait by himself for hours until they called him back to be with her during the recovery. We would exchange pleasantries, but most days he just kept to himself. One day, though, I just sat down with him, and we sat next to each other in this deep silence for the longest time. Finally, he began to talk. His wife was the love of his life. They had raised children and grandchildren together. They loved gardening and church socials, singing in the choir, spending time with family around the kitchen table. The mental illness had struck. His wife had become violent, suicidal. She'd burned down the family home by microwaving a washcloth. They were now living in assisted living in separate rooms. This treatment was their last hope, and this man was desperate for it to work. I gently asked at one point where God was in all of this mess. And he looked at me with a surprise and a shock on his face. What did I mean? The God he knew wasn't to be questioned or addressed with honesty. The relationship he had with God was through rote prayers, all spoken in unison at the breakfast table, or without thought or emotion during a worship service. He didn't have conversations with God. There was no familiarity, no boldness, no honesty. The God he had come to know was distant, not sitting with us that day in that waiting room. He immediately broke down when he realized that he needed more. In his life that day and always, he needed a relationship with God. Today, Jesus invites us into that relationship, giving us the words to speak when we don't have any words. Jesus invites us to seek, to ask, to knock, and to trust that the door will be opened, because Jesus will hear our prayers, will walk with us in the good times as well as the bad. Amen.